Bree. I Do McGrew is your source for real-life wedding tips, inspiration, and insider knowledge. Wes and I are a married couple that have been photographing weddings for over 5 years, and together we photograph nearly 100 weddings in the Virginia area.
And I'm Wes. We'll draw on our experience and connect with top wedding professionals to provide insight into planning and enjoying your wedding day. We'll also interview real couples to find out how the decisions they made played out on their big day.
It's our mission to provide the insight and knowledge you need to navigate the exciting, complex, emotional, and fun roller coaster ride that is the wedding planning process.
And just remember, it's your wedding, and there are
no rules.
So let's explore the possibilities.
Hey, Bree.
Hey, Wes.
Welcome back to another episode of the I Do McGrew podcast.
We're here.
That's right. And we recently got some feedback from my father, who has listened to a few episodes for the first time.
Yes. Finally listened on a long drive, and we were chatting with him. And he told us that he said, if I didn't know you guys, would I listen? No.
Yeah. So it wasn't exactly a 5-star review. He did have some positive things to say, but the bottom line was, if I wasn't your father, I wouldn't listen to this.
Wes really wanted to share that because he just thought it was so savage.
I'm throwing him under the bus.
That everyone else would get a kick out of that comment that we received. So now, we had to share it.
It could have something to do with that he's not that interested in the content. He doesn't need to plan a wedding. He's been married for a long time. But still, the delivery was, it was something special. So now I had to share that with the audience.
Yeah. Wes's parents actually met in high school. They're high school sweethearts, still married. Still wonderful. But yeah, this content just might not be for him. I guess that would have been the better answer.
Yeah. So, you know, we're just going to keep striving to get this up to standards for my dad.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that had nothing to do actually with today's podcast topic, which is how to find a photographer to capture a proposal. And I think this is an episode I've been looking forward to for a very long time. I would say even like since we first started this podcast and had the idea to bring someone on to talk about proposals, because I just don't think when you're planning one, you know how to find someone, or you don't know what questions to ask, or if you should get that moment captured, or I don't know, all those little questions. So this one's a fun one.
I tell you what, as the person who did the proposing in our relationship, I was lost pretty much through the entire process because I couldn't ask you what to do.
And I'm the planner.
Pretty much my go-to for how my entire life operates.
At the time,
I had already realized that, which is why I had to propose. So you see how I was put in this weird pretzel.
Catch-22.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a huge thing. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of thought, a lot of, I don't want to call it stress because it's happy stress, but it's, I was terrified. So, I mean, you want to document it though, because after you go through all that,
it's a big moment. Yeah.
You might want a picture or two or, to remember it. So, to talk about that, we reached out to Adam Mason of Mason Photography. We thought of him because we had seen that he's just done a ton of proposal photography in the D.C. area.
Yeah, and I found him on the Knots How They Asked page, and we'll link some of his photos on our Instagram. If you follow us on our I Do McGrew Instagram, his photos are just awesome. And so we thought he could be someone great to come on and tell us, how do you hire and find a photographer for your proposal, and how do they find you before you get down on one knee so they don't miss the moment, and all the in-between questions you could ever think of. So it was a really fun conversation.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's the photographer can't give away the surprise, right? So you have to be like camo, like incognito spy photography. So it's kind of neat. And Adam's a real fun guy. It was really nice talking to him, and I think he's got a lot to offer.
Yeah, so take it away. Adam Mason, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm it feels super weird but super relaxing to not be the one asking the questions. This will be really fun.
I was gonna say, I was actually like so nervous to have you on because you're not only a talented wedding photographer, but you're a gifted podcaster as well. So we're excited to have your expertise on our podcast with us today.
Anything I can help, you know, any brides or grooms out there who are getting into podcasts, or they loved Serial, or you know, the original iPod, I'm here for you.
The original iPod, I had that too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what started podcasts. You know, from the iPod, it was radio broadcasts on iPod. So anyway, sorry, we're getting way off topic, but yeah.
It's okay. I like it. So I fell in love with your photography when I found you. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but I just love your photos. They're just so vibrant. I think your tagline on your website says colorful photos for colorful people. I couldn't have been more captivated by that. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, how you started in the wedding industry, or just more about your general photography style.
Yeah, absolutely. So always feels weird to brag about yourself, but my
bit of
my story kind of mixes my podcast and my work together. I was born in a small town, raised by a single parent, kicked out of college, and then found photography through doing a humanitarian mission in Eastern Europe and kind of got addicted to that. I toured in a band and was doing music photography. And over time, the merch persons gets engaged, right? They get proposed to, and they're like, hey, will you shoot our wedding? And you're like, sure, I've never done that before, but I'll do that. And it kind of ramps up, and I have an addictive personality, so if I put my mind towards something, it just kind of goes. And yeah, it's been about 9 years now since my first wedding. We've shot about 200 weddings, just me, and then now I run a photography team of four photographers, a boutique studio here in DC, that does about 100 weddings a year, and then does some corporate work for some big corporate clients all around the country when we're not experiencing a pandemic. And yeah, I just love, photography for me has been kind of access that I would never normally get because of my background. Has been kind of access to just interesting people. Again, like I say, colorful people who are all walks of life. Every wedding I shoot is, hey, the bride is from Israel and the groom is from Russia, or I've shot Ethiopian melses or Indian weddings or Jewish weddings, or, weddings where the couple works at the White House or they're in politics or whatever. And that has just become an addiction for me. And so that fuels my love of doing this job. And, and finding a place, at least in DC, the style is very, light and airy, which I think is beautiful and works with like all of our French, Parisian style in DC. But there's a group of, couples out there who, that doesn't feel like them. Most of our couples, love to party, or they want to have a good time, or they love art, or they're very into epic stuff, or maybe they're from a marginalized community and they just don't feel like they're seen when they Google wedding photography. And when they come to our site, they know they're instantly welcome. We're all about eliminating fear, creating connection, and helping people become fulfilled in who they are and who they're becoming. And so to be able to do that for a living through photography is insane. I feel like I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. Like, things are still going well, and they're growing every year. And it's been a really, really fun ride. And now I don't have to, tell my wife that, hey, if this doesn't work out in 6 months, I'm going to go be a barista. So it's been really, really cool. So yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Nice.
That was quite the elevator
pitch.
You're
right.
Yeah,
he's,
sorry.
He's professional. He knows what he's talking. He knows how to talk.
Also, I like you because you talk fast paced, which I talk very fast paced too. So I can talk at this level with you.
I always think that
I'm going to get left behind.
Yeah, because of podcasts, I listen to them. I'm not crazy. I'm not 2X guy. I'm like 1.7. I do the smart speed on Overcast. And I listen fast, and I do think that I will talk fast, or I get nervous that I'm like taking up too much time. So I'm like, well, let's just fit it up. Let's fit a minute into two, or a minute into 30 seconds. And so, yeah.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just said that you listen fast, because I have said that to like so many bosses. I've gotten on like every review I've ever had at work or a job that I speak too fast. And I say, well, hey, I listen really fast too. So that's my comeback. And you said that too.
Yeah, we're efficient people. We're here to hustle.
Yeah.
What type of bands were you going on the road with?
Yeah, so I went to a very small conservative Christian college, so I played a lot in the worship teams there. But the bands I kind of toured with and were most active with photographing and shooting for were heavy metal and rock bands. So I toured with a band from Massachusetts called Armory, and then I was a lead photographer for a festival company called Creation Fest, and would kind of shoot their festivals all over the country with bands like Switchfoot and the Newsboys. And if you're into that kind of thing, then that's where that's at.
Sure, yeah. No, that's pretty cool. I'm into like punk and hardcore. I don't go into metal quite as much, but
sure.
Yeah, we had the guy who books bands from East Coast Entertainment, and he got his start, or not his start, but one of his first big jobs in the music industry was managing Jars of Clay, or booking for them.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing! Yeah.
Well, you shoot tons of weddings. I think you said you've shot over 200, which is double what we've shot. So that's amazing and killer. But we actually had you on the podcast today to chat about proposals because I had found you. I was searching on the Knots. They have like some sister pages, I guess you can call them. One of their the Knots sister accounts is called How They Asked About Proposals and Proposal Stories. And I can't get enough. I could read proposal stories all day. It's one of my first questions I ask all of our couples when we meet them. And I found one of your photos. I think it's from, is it the Lincoln Memorial?
Yeah, that's correct.
In DC, and it just looked awesome. So I just immediately reached out to you. So we're excited to chat about photographing proposals for anyone out there that is interested and wondering how you find and hire someone to photograph that kind of moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Proposals are such an interesting thing because I feel like there's no, you know, if you need a wedding photographer, you hire a wedding photographer. And I think too, couples, there's still this nomenclature that that engagement photographers and wedding photographers are different. You know, I still get those emails every once in a while where they're like, hey, you know, we're looking for pricing for our engagement. And I always want to tell couples, I'm like, hey, it's really beneficial for both parties if, you know, we also shoot your wedding. And so let's just find out if we're a good fit for both. And so that's been kind of funny. We get those emails every once in a while, but like proposals, there's not many people who are doing full-time proposal photography. It's always kind of this like add-on or this extra or something like that. But it's pretty fun. And I think too, ironically though, it's the first thing that couples think about, or at least the, you know, whoever is the proposer, if you will, you know, that's their first thing. It's like, all right, I want to get this photographed. Like, we live in the Instagram world. Let's do this.
I agree with you. I do think that there's still some confusion, not regularly, but sometimes around engagement and wedding photos. I still get asked, you know, like, would you include those? And it's like, I think, first of all, I do think that it's a very common for a lot of photographers to include engagement photos. But yeah, we say the same thing. We're like, that's our one time where we can get to know you. It makes the photos on the wedding day much more efficient when we've already established our relationship. You already know our posing type. We already know what works best on you. So there's definitely reasons to stay with the same photographer for engagement and wedding photos. We definitely agree with that.
Yeah, no, totally. It's a weird world, but we're like, guys, trust me, it'll be more fun. And at least for us, like, we'll go out for pizza after engagement sessions, you know, or at least pre-COVID, you know, go out for a bite to eat and hang out. And that way, our goal on wedding day is to show up. This is totally kind of off topic, but might be helpful for couples. You know, our goal is to show up on wedding day and not be like, oh, the photographer's coming. We want it to be, no, Adam's coming, or Corinne's coming, or Rob's coming. So.
Yeah, so anything you can do ahead of time to help build that connection, I think it does go a long way. I mean, we'll be reiterating ourselves here too by saying, like, one of the things we say is like, hey, when you're vetting your vendors, especially if you're your photographer, like, make sure you like the person because they're going to be stuck by your side for this very important day all day long. So, right. Yeah, that's great. Like getting the pizza or like having an in-person interview.
Anything to build rapport. It also helps them look more natural in front of the camera when they feel like they can know and already trust you. So
totally comes through.
Definitely agree. Yep. So I guess to start off, how would couples like, or how do couples typically find you and reach out to you for proposal photos? I feel like it can be kind of like people can maybe feel awkward trying to reach out to someone and ask for proposal photos. And sometimes a lot of it's so up in the air with like when it's going to happen or like, will family be there? Or I don't know. So how do couples usually reach out to you?
Yeah, usually, you know, it might be through our site, you know, through Google's a good friend of ours, you know, they like our site or, you know, I found at least in DC because we kind of have these like, you know, these very famous locations, like if you're a DC couple, then there's going to be these like hot spots, you know, and that might be the case for every city too. So like, but for us, that's the Lincoln Memorial, you know, Washington Monument, the Capitol, Reflecting Pool, Tidal Basin, et cetera. And, you know, so I know some couples actually will go look at those locations first, find some photos they like, and then, you know, say, oh, this photographer looks really cool. They've obviously shot here before because we're looking at their image. And sometimes they'll reach out that way as well. And almost all the time, it's the person who is going to be doing the proposing who reaches out to us. And yeah, I can talk more detail about what they're going to share or, you know, what sometimes it's like, hey, we're planning a dinner after. And then sometimes they're saying, hey, we just need like, you know, 30 minutes of your time.
That's what I was going to say. So like, do you ever meet up with them beforehand to scout it out and say like, okay, you know, I need you to stand this direction. Otherwise you're going to be looking into the light and like your eyes will be all squinty. Like, do you coach them through it? Or is it like you show up on game day and you somehow find them right before they get down on one knee? Like, I guess walk me through that part.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for every couple, it's going to be different. And I think our biggest thing is to always, you know, plan and, you know, set the tone for how things are going to go prior to when we have to do the shoot. And that applies for engagement sessions. We do a lot of communication and for weddings. So for proposals, you know, if we're talking to the proposer, if you will, which is a new term I just made up tonight, but yeah, if we're going to talk
about like the
proposer,
it.
Yeah. Which is sad because in high school poser was a bad thing, but now that we have a pro poser, so it's, yeah. You know, it's,
you
it's
don't want to be a poser, Adam.
Yeah, exactly. Which I am, like I, you know, somebody told me in middle school I was a poser and I'm like, yep, that's me.
Still am to this day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. But, you know, so usually what I'll do is, and maybe this is a city thing, right? Cause it's like, it's kind of a pain to go park by the most popular parts of our city and be like, okay, yeah, let's go scope things out. So usually, you know, we've shot a lot at most of these places, you know, and have experience. And we're usually, you know, most photographers who are worth their weight in salt are going to show up prepared. But what I like to do is I'll, you know, usually have a little bit of communication. Hey, where are you thinking? Here are some good spots, or here are some places we photographed before. And I ask them if they have a time preference. You know, I always kind of ask with a few questions like, hey, do you have a time that you would like to do this? Do you have a location in mind? Or would you like me to help pick? What's your kind of plan? Do you want to propose and then go, you know, have your date? Or a lot of people I've found like to kind of, you know, have a little bit of a walk or a date or a process, and they finish with the proposing. And so I'm like, yeah, the last place they get to on the scavenger hunt, if you will. And so, you know, some couples will do that. And yeah, I just like to communicate a lot. And I use some apps, you know, like photo pills, to kind of plan out where the sun's going to be. And most of the time I've been able to tell couples, like, I've dropped a pin and been like, this is the location you need to do it. You
That's
know,
smart.
If you can, or I'll like draw a picture, or I'll say, you know, you want your, I'll get even really nitty gritty. I'll be like, I need your, if you want this to be awesome, right? It's going to be awesome no matter what. But I'm like, the photo side, it's my job to be picky at some level in a nice
of
way.
Of course.
And set them up. And so, you know, I'll say, bro, you know, if it's a guy, I'll be like, bro, I need your left side to be facing the tidal basin. All right. Be facing the water. All right. So you just think left elbow is pointing towards the tidal basin. I'll take care of everything after that. And, you know, it works out usually. Or like for the proposal you saw with Cassie and Alexa, you know, Alexa was very nervous. We were kind of talking about it a lot. We had some rapport. They were already fans of my work, which is a huge honor because they get photographed by photographers all the time. And, you know, our plan was to just do a fun little photo shoot. And then so we were already kind of, you know, her Cassie, she already thought we were just doing photos, right? Like she didn't know we were doing she was going to be
proposed. That's a good cover, yeah.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And, you know, Alexa booked me for an hour, which is totally fair, totally fine. And most photographers, they might not have, like, 15-minute proposal pricing, so just expect that. You know, they might have an hour, and that's probably what you should expect to book them for. In D.C., that can range from, like, $500 to $1,000, you know, because it's, like, their minimum cost to come out as well. But maybe, too, especially for proposals, they might include, and we can talk about this later, is, like, they might include a sneak peek or something, so you can have something that day. But yeah, so Cassie and Alexa, we kind of faked it as if it was a photo shoot. And then, I'm giving my tricks away, but this is the podcast to do it on. So,
yeah.
So what I did, and I do this on every wedding, every shoot, just for fun to kind of break, you know, just the weirdness of it all. Right. It's usually people's first time getting photographed. And so I basically will take, individual shots of each person. So what I did was I was like, hey, Alexa, who was the proposer, I said, hey, why don't you stand there? We'll take a few solo photos of you. And then I always have the other person stand next to me. And, then I had her stand next to me. And what I'll do is I will, you know, take some photos or whatever, and then I'll swap them. And so as Cassie was getting photographed, I, you know, Alexa was like digging in her bag for something, which was the ring. And so, before Cassie could even look, Alexa was already on one knee. We already kind of set that up. And I took those solo photos in the place where I wanted. So that was an easier, more organic.
So you'd already like tested your light. You'd found the spot. Yeah. That's so smart.
Yeah. And with a lot of these popular spots, which we'll shoot anywhere, with the popular spots, you know, and again, it's most photographers, we got to be an expert. Like we should know how things are going to work out. Like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Like it's not doing anything funky. Like we know what's going to happen.
Not a lot of surprises there.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's 93 million miles away. It's not getting closer.
Especially once you've shot at a spot a bunch. Like, we've also shot at Lincoln Memorial, too. So, like, we know what time that sun's facing, which side of the building, and, like, which pillars to stand between to angle.
Yeah.
You know, the Washington Monument behind it. Like, once you've shot at a place a couple times, you kind of know not just, the main spot, but then the little niche spots once you're there.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, Lincoln Memorial is a great example, too, where, like, you know, we don't have to shoot there at sunset exactly because, you know, just of the angles, and it is a roofed building that is outdoors. So you have a little bit of wiggle room.
And white's,
you know,
such a good natural reflector that it makes it seem brighter.
Yeah. Totally. And so, yeah, we have a little bit more wiggle room than maybe other locations, right? Like, if we're going to shoot outside on the beach, like, hey, I'm going to be very specific. But, yeah, so that's kind of how we couples usually go about it, is they'll either do a lot of planning up front, or we can kind of wrap it in, like, a fake photo shoot. Or I've even sent, like, fake DMs for a couple and been like, guys, I have this awesome idea for a photo shoot. I'd love for you to come out, you know, or whatever.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh. Yeah, like, they've gotten me in on the joke sometimes. Which has been cool. I've also photographed a proposal when a couple was like coming out of a movie and it was like 1 a.m. And that's probably
tricky.
It's not Ooh. Happening ever again, but
yeah. Okay, so I've only actually shot one proposal before. It was really fun and definitely, I would say, a massive learning experience. I'll just be completely honest. There were things I wish I'd known, which is why I'm also glad to have you on and learn all this from you. It's not just for all of our listeners. It's for me too. I'm a little selfish here today. So I didn't know this couple at all, and they, like you had kind of mentioned, it was kind of like a scavenger hunt thing, and like I was kind of last stop. So I was meeting them at a spot here. It's the University of Richmond campus. It's a beautiful architectural campus, and there's this big lake and gondola on the lake. And
nope, it's a gazebo.
Gazebo. Oh my God, I do that every time.
It's not the first time, that's for sure.
Brianna, either way, it's nothing but a G thing. So
that's right.
Oh, that was good.
It's funny because in our line of work, we talk about gazebos a lot, but it just
and
quite, hasn't
always
quite clicked
call
yet.
Them gondolas. Okay, back to the story. So first of all, I had never met them before. So I was like texting the guy day of, like, what are you guys wearing so I could spot them? But because they kind of just like walked up to the spot, I had to like quickly. Well, first of all, I was acting like I was just there viewing the lake. So I had my camera down and hidden. And then as soon as they walked up, I was like, go time. I knew I had to like get my camera out, like find my light really fast. Like I didn't have kind of the time that you had with that photo shoot setup, which sounds so much easier. So awesome. But I had learned so much. So he like walked her into the gazebo and then got down on one knee there. And looking back on the moment, I'm like, oh, I wish I had told him as a photographer to step outside of the gazebo, because one, once they were under it, it was really dark under there to expose them properly, and two, I think as photographers, a lot of us know that a lot of photos look better when they're not right up against the background that they want, when they're a little bit out from it. They were like so close to the gazebo wall on the lake that it was kind of just like it wasn't apparent where they were. I couldn't really get that wide shot because they were so deep into the gazebo. But yeah, all these things like you learn afterwards that you learn to start coaching them through. So definitely important to loop your photographer into the location in advance so we can give you little tips like that along the way.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's sorry, Adam.
No, you go, Wesley. Go for it.
I was just going to say it sounded like Adam kind of maybe took the reins a little bit when you're planning these things. Yeah. Like he said he's drawing pictures for the couple. He's saying like, do this, do that. And so I think like if you're working with a photographer for a proposal and they're not asking you these questions, like maybe Brianna didn't quite ask as many questions.
I've
like,
learned.
Yeah, like go ahead and bring these things up. I find that most people that you photograph kind of want to be told what to do, right? That's part of the job as being a photographer. So I think that holds true with these proposal sort of surprise paparazzi style shoots as well. Like they can still be somewhat staged even though you're doing
it. They'll still be an organic moment, but if you're reaching out to hire a photographer for the moment, that means to me you probably want it to be aesthetically pleasing. So why not let us do that part for you and tell you where it's going to be pretty? You still get to pick the words that you say and you know what knee you choose to get down on, right? We're not going to tell you that much, but
yeah, well, I mean,
still good to loop us in.
Totally. It's one of those things, and you know, if you guys know DC well, then it's one of those things where like if somebody says, hey, I want to get, you know, the Washington Monument in the photos with you know, for my proposal, then ironically, we have to be not at the Washington Monument, right? Because it's so big. I'm like, yeah, we'll just have a granite wall in the background and that will be silly. Like that will not be, you know, like DC is modeled after Paris. And so the Washington Monument is akin to the Eiffel Tower. And it's like, guys, we don't want to be in the Eiffel Tower. We want to be at the like museum or the military base at the end of it, or, you know, to get these photos. And I also too, I'm just going to say this out here and maybe we'll get some hate mail and I'll just be so sorry for you guys, but
what are you sending our way?
we
can take it. We're tough.
Listen, you know, 9 years of doing this, I'm just going to say this now for everybody listening, no gazebos. You know, or at least not
or gondolas. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, gondolas.
Well, gondolas are cool.
I'm pro water. Like this summer, I've shot more in the water than I ever have, and I'm pro anything boat related. But no gazebos. Like people I always ask couples, I'm like, hey, do you have any location things in mind for an engagement session? And they always will tell me, you know, hey, there's this really nice gazebo. And I'm like, where is there a hiding secret gazebo in one of my photos that couples have just found? And they're like, yeah, we're pro gazebo. Yeah, we're going to get make a gazebo great.
I belong to gazeboloversanonymous.com and I found the perfect one.
Right. They're all closet like gazebo lovers or you know, it's like this niche club of gazebo Rubik's Cube players. And yeah, just not inside the gazebo, guys. So like couples, if you're listening, you think that gazebo is nice. It feels nice to be inside of it, right? You like the feeling of being with your partner inside of it. But we want to take that photo outside
of the gazebo. But you don't need photos inside of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's 2020. You know, gazebos are for our parents' age. It's just not something we're looking at. Unless a gazebo has, like, free healthcare, flat screen TV, functioning government. You know, that's not a gazebo we want to be in.
Well, we've definitely hit the the quota on saying the word gazebo. So
yeah.
We're not allowed to say it anymore, or else we're gonna have to start paying royalties. Like
plot twist: I'm actually sponsored by a gazebo company, and I get paid per time I say it.
He's a double agent.
Yeah. So when I, again, this was like 3 years ago, and it was like the one and only one I did. I'd love to do more. I think they're super fun. In fact, I was like jittery and nervous all day because, well, one, it was like my first one. But two, I think proposals are so exciting and fun. You get nerves like with your couple. But I, you know, I like you said, a lot of couples or a lot of photographers, not couples, will do minimum like 30 minutes or an hour sessions. I agree with you. I think I also quoted them at an hour. Again, if you're going to come all the way out, drive to meet them at a location, you're going to want to get some more photos. And the proposal itself, even if you have a big speech prepared, it usually takes about 30 seconds. So I know I walked them around the property and posed them for lots of photos later. Took like detailed shots of the ring, all that good stuff. Do you typically like include more additional photos besides just like the proposer down on one
the
knee moment?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's so hard to know, you know, and I always tell most couples are going to feel, I can get to feel more comfortable in front of the camera. So that's probably 95% of couples I say, you know, and so, yeah, after this really intense, you know, hopefully good moment, you know, they've never said no when I photograph. So that's really good. I don't know how I would cope with that. But you know, like after this epic moment, you know, it's really up to them. You know, I think some couples have wanted to do a few more photos, or sometimes they'll have like a little celebration plan, and that doesn't have to be big. That might be, you know, hey, our parents are waiting for us at our house. Let's go back there. That'd be really fun if you came and shot that. Or it can be, you know, some proposals, you know, especially in DC, it might just be some cheese and wine, you know, like they
yeah,
packed
just popping champagne and yeah.
Exactly. Like Cassie and Alexa just had a friend set up like a secret picnic, you know, 10 feet from where we were shooting, and the couple never saw them. And so it was kind of a fun surprise and kind of like a last, you know, last fun thing. And so I just took a few photos of them. And I left, you know, after 10 minutes of them, like, eating their cheese and their wine. Because at the same time, they want to be alone, you know, and, like, celebrate this time. And, you know, but at the same time, I've done ones where it's been, like, a big surprise. And there's, you know, 40 people waiting for the couples. So, yeah, I like to do additional photos just because I like to shoot. And it's fun. And I'm an extrovert. So anytime I'm around people, especially during these times, I'm like, yeah, we can hang out. Or, oh, yeah, like, I'm that guy that... like I wasn't into video games for a long time. Like that was a big thing in high school, a little bit in college, but then for the last 10 years, not really into it. And, during, you know, the initial lockdowns and quarantine earlier this year, one of my good buddies was like, hey, you got to play this video game. And I was like, I don't want to spend $70 on a video game. You know, I don't know. And he was like, it's free. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I'm playing right now. Come play. And, now I've been playing ever since March. So
you're not going to say the name?
What have you been playing? It's Call of Duty Warzone. I've been addicted. It's like a war game. I'm not even really into it. My wife has been on the Animal Crossing train. But all that to say, my extrovert is like, you could be like, Adam, we're going to go try on shoes. And that is not something I want to do. But to hang out with a friend, I'll do whatever. Like, I'm that guy that like, I just want to be
I'm completely with
presence.
You. On most wedding days, Wes has to like, actually, he's done this before on several wedding days, especially when we say, we're just going to pop outside for like 10 minutes of like sunset golden hour photos. And the couple like really wants to go back in and eat. He literally has to put a timer on because I'll just keep shooting forever, especially if the sun's like going down slow or like the light's perfect. I can just keep shooting.
I've got your back, couples. You will get to enjoy your wedding.
We did a bridal session last weekend, and it was one of our first times we've been out in like a couple weeks, and we're used to shooting every weekend too. And we were literally like jumping up and down like in front of her. Like we were like, we're just so happy to be here. And then I had to like apologize because I was like, I'm sorry. We don't get out of the house as much as we used to. We're just very excited to be shooting again. Also, right. I'll throw Wes on blast here. He video game talk. He's been playing Fortnite every day of quarantine. So,
yeah, same sort of thing though. Video games are. I hadn't really been playing them much either in a long time, but just being able to jump on and chat with your friends over it has been a nice way to cope with being stuck inside for 6 months or however long this has been going on.
Right.
So,
100%.
Part of this proposal thing, you know, I guess do you wear like you don't want the couple. Well, I guess you want the proposer to see that you're there so they know it's go time, but you don't want the other person to notice you. So like how much camouflage do you wear? And
and have you ever been seen before? Has the person being proposed to ever been like, oh, there's a guy with a big camera, and like, do they realize it's happening?
I love this. No, so I've gotten really lucky. So for the surprise ones, you know, even as a large 300-pound bearded man, I have been pretty stealthy.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, they're all a Call of Duty. Yeah. I took a self-defense class in college. No. And so, yeah, it's been, you know, pretty easy to kind of hide out and just be like an onlooker. I also, too, this is pretty silly, but like my camera bag doesn't look like a camera bag. It looks like a messenger bag. And, you know, and again, all these spots in D.C. usually are kind of touristy, right? So there's going to be a few people, even just sprinkled, even if it's like a private area. And, yeah, I just wear kind of casual clothes or whatever. I will say I like proposals and engagements because I don't have to dress up. Whereas like wedding day, I hate getting dressed up. That's my least favorite part. And then you always get there fully dressed up in dress clothes, especially during these times when it's hot and I'm wearing a mask. And the couple always goes, Adam, what are you wearing? Like, why aren't you wearing something more comfortable? I'm like, ugh, I wish somebody would tell me it's okay. But anyway, yeah. So I just wear whatever on a wedding day and, you know, try to hide out if I can. But I have gotten a long lens before, and kind of the movie theater one where it was like late at night, I was like pretty far away because it was my first time and I didn't want to get noticed, and there were no tourists. Yeah. So it's like, oh, what's that large bearded man doing there with that camera? And that could go really bad, you know, if it's the wrong time. So
yeah, I'm surprised people don't like stop you and think that you're like doing something creepy, like, you know, like hiding out with like a camera, like taking like covert pictures of people. I'm surprised they don't like think you're a PI or something.
Yeah, especially in DC. It can be pretty weird. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, like who's he tailing? These must be important people.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's always such a bizarre thing. You know, what I usually do, I'm on the offensive side, you know, of the friendliness. So if it's like an engagement session or wedding photos at a place where there's a security guard, I immediately always walk up to them like, bro, how's your day? What's going on? What's the craziest thing that's been happening this week? Just to like get their topic off of, you know, showing them that they have value and give, you know, have them tell me a little bit of a story. You know, 2.5 minutes later, they're going to let us shoot wherever we want. And it's not weird. But yeah, if we don't have that time, it can be pretty weird.
Yeah, makes sense. That's on location photography for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Especially in DC, right? Like the only place in the world where like, oh, the presidential motorcade is delaying this wedding by 45 minutes or the protests, you know, we have to walk a mile to get to the venue and, you know, just fun DC life.
Yeah, I think we've had two sunrise engagement sessions in DC and both of them we got delayed by like 10Ks or marathons or something. It's like, what are the chances of this happening again?
Yeah, it does seem like that's happened to us more than the layman. We also always end up, people always want those cherry blossom sessions. We end up there a lot. And again, the only time to do those is sunrise. So
yeah,
we've ended up there a bunch for those, but that didn't happen this year.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of have shot ourselves out of the cherry blossoms, which it's like a blessing and a curse, you know, because it's the shooting engagements and stuff like that. It gives me an opportunity to go to places like I might not normally go see the cherry blossoms, but if I'm going to go for work, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll pay for parking or I'll pay for the Uber. Or I'll go down there or whatever. But I feel like 2 years ago we shot 7 in a row. So every morning for a whole week I was down there. Which was insane. And I was like, why is this happening? But, and then ever since then we haven't gotten any, or like we haven't been a good fit price wise or whatever. So it's kind of funny. So if any couple wants us to come down to the cherry blossoms, we'll do it. You know, if there's not a pandemic, we're down.
But I wanted to ask, like, I mean, the proposal, it's such a sort of moment, you know, in the whole wedding process that kicks the whole thing off. So it totally makes sense that people would want to get get it photographed, because you know you're going to have the engagement session, which is cool. Maybe you can still use those photos for like save the dates or something like that. But this is really like a magical moment. So do you have any feedback from couples about what they're doing with these photos? Are they using them for a save the date, or are they putting it as their wallpaper or their screensavers?
Yeah, absolutely. So for proposals, especially out here in DC or in a lot of major cities, not a lot of people were raised here or live here. And so for a lot of my couples, you know, the communication with outside family and friends is via social media and via, you know, that text that was like, hey, I have some exciting news for you that, you know, you're not necessarily telling somebody in person later that day or when you get home. And so for a lot of couples, that's what these photos mean to them. And for proposals, it's the same way. So a lot of couples, yeah, it's either, you know, an announcement. If we do a few additional photos that kind of look like an engagement session or whatever, we'll do a few photos and those might go on, you know, the wedding website. But I've had everything, you know, especially in DC, if a guy's wearing a suit, you know, he might just be like, hey, can I get a work headshot real quick? You know, kind of a makeshift one. And like, yeah, it's not as much time as we would normally put into it, but sure. And, you know, and then for engagement sessions for us, going from the proposal to the engagement, engagement sessions for us are all about just like, who are you during this time in your life? What do you like to do? And what's your relationship mean right now? Mm-hmm. And especially because we live in a city of transplants. And so if you're listening to this and you're in a big city, you know, get the photos, because 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if you don't live there anymore, like, represent this time in your life. And especially if your relationship, I think it's a really fun time and kind of cool. And so, yeah, some couples will use them for different social media updates and posts and stuff like that, or just different decorations kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I remember back in the day, I'm about to like date Wes and I like heavily because he proposed, I guess, like 6 years ago now. So back like 6.5, 7 years ago, when we were kind of in the phase of life where we'd been dating a while and we were starting to have these conversations about where our relationship was heading and, you know, if we were going to get engaged and everything. I remember I said, like, basically we decided to be together at this point forever. And I remember I had 3 stipulations for the proposal. And I think it's fine. I've shot 100 weddings. I've talked to 100 couples about their proposal. And I'll say most girls give a little bit of direction to their groom, or even in other relationships, it's fine to give a little direction on what you want. You've envisioned this day for a long time and it's a big deal. The 3 things I remember I told Wes was, 1, I want you to include your mom and sister ring shopping because I just thought that would be a really special moment for them and I trusted their style. I said, 2, don't make it a public location in a spot that like means something to us in our relationship. But I didn't tell him like exactly where. I wanted it to still be from his own creativity. And then 3, I said, I do want a photo of the moment. Not even for like social media at the time. I mean, 7 years ago, Instagram was still like a big thing, but it wasn't like it is now. And, 6 years ago. But I just wanted for my own memory's sake. Like, I know that moment is so emotional and so much going through your head. We still don't remember like the actual words he said when we were down on one knee, but we have a photo of the moment, that we can now show our, you know, future kids. And so it's really cool, I think, just to have that captured.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, like, it's back in the day, there were families that had a go-to photographer for anything that mattered, you know, and I miss those days. Like, I want those days, and we're slowly getting there with our, you know, our clients as we have, like, a valuable experience from engagement to wedding, to where, like, my goal is, I've had a few moms do this, moms of brides and moms of grooms, who have invited me and my wife to Thanksgiving with their family. You know, and again, that might just be a DC transplant thing, but it's, you know, these life moments matter and families matter. And I think, you know, for me, like, a good example, you know, for like wedding albums, right, or even getting a physical album of these times of in our lives, is like my grandpa, before he passed away, he had never looked at my wife and I's wedding gallery link, right? We sent it all to the family, and, you know, my grandparents knew how to use iPads. So we were like, oh yeah, they've seen the wedding photos. And for 2 years, he never looked through them. And then we brought a physical album with us in person, and he looked through that, and we looked through that together for 3 hours, you know? And
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's like these moments matter so much, and family matters. But I think like photography is the practice of emphasizing our values, and those mm-hmm. values are that family matters. And oftentimes the photography can help us emphasize and then later on remind us of those values. And oftentimes, especially
and memories matter, and so much is lost over time. And so to have a photo of that moment is just, you know, forever going to keep it present.
Yeah. You know, so people think it's like just for the gram, and I love the gram. Like, trust me, I would love making badass photos for couples and having it be awesome. But I always think of like, what does this time in your life mean to you? You know, 20 years in advance, it's my job to you know, document that. And so, yeah, I don't know how we got on this topic, but yeah, get your proposal photographs.
No, this is a good one. I also yeah, was thinking exactly. about it more too. And I think some couples put so much pressure too on the proposal moment and it looking beautiful, especially if you've gone out of your way to hire a photographer. You want these like spectacular images. And I'll just say, for Wes and I, our experience was Wes proposed on the top of a mountain in George Washington National Park, and which is awesome because we're big outdoor enthusiasts and hikers and we love it. So it was very us, but it was pouring down rain that day, which is actually how I figured out he was proposing, because I was like, there's no way you'd normally take me on a multiple hour long hike in pouring down rain, but okay. But
it's
we get to the top, and the view that was supposed to be like the backdrop of this beautiful proposal was basically just like a misty white wall of fog. There was absolutely nothing there. And he was so disappointed because that was like the photo op of him on one knee was, you know, like the beautiful Shenandoah Valley. But the photos are like even epically cooler that we just have this like, we're like engulfed in this like white fog. It's almost like we're in this white backdrop, but then you can see trees coming through the fog. And anyways, it's really neat. And it's our moment, you know, like it was raining on our wedding day. It was foggy. So even if the conditions aren't right, you know, still go for it. Your photographer can still find a way to make it look beautiful and unique and personal to you.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's I thought of another proposal that I photographed, and that was my wife and I. It's like I did it myself. And it was such a like funny process, similar to yours, Wes, where like it was raining. We were in Iceland and I had this plan.
We went to Iceland last year. I love this. Keep going.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm addicted. So we would have moved there if we were allowed. So it's an incredible place. And I wanted to take my wife. It was her first time. I think it was like my third or fourth time. And it's raining though. And I had this plan. I was like, oh, I want to do this in front of this epic waterfall, all this kind of stuff. And very similar thing. Like my wife was like, why is Adam so mad that it's raining? Like, why is he so upset?
Yeah.
And luckily it stopped raining just for like 20 minutes. And so
sounds
I had
like
been,
Iceland.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so what I had been doing too, is I had been vlogging the whole trip as again, try to normalize. Oh yeah. We're just going to take some photos. We're gonna take some video of everything. So like, she wasn't weirded out when I set up the cameras, you know, so it worked out.
Yeah, I did a similar thing.
Yeah, Wes actually photographed our proposal
too. Tripod. Yeah, tripod. Did I just get video? Is that how I did it? I said we were taking a photo, flipped it to video mode, and then I proposed, I think, is what I did.
Like that. I know you set the tripod, but because we're photographers, I agree it wasn't weird. We like to take professional photos, and to the point that it annoys all of our friends on trips. They're like, another photo. So, I mean, I wasn't weirded out by that. Also, I'd already figured him out and knew it was coming for multiple reasons. But yeah, I love that. It's like, you know, you can't control the weather. And it's also, maybe it's learning curve for the wedding day, because same thing on the wedding day, you can't control it. You have to learn to just roll with it and trust your photographer, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I can give advice on how to get your proposal photographed, but not how to keep it a secret. That is, I'm not your guy for that. The jig was up.
So I guess one of our like last questions for you is, do all couples that hire you then always go on to hire you to do their full weddings? I just was wondering if there were couples out there that were like, oh, I really like this guy's like proposal style, but I had like a friend in mind for my wedding. So I guess, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it's my personable goal. It's my personal goal to, for when couples see my work, I want them to fire their friends as photographers. that's my personal goal. I don't want anybody hiring any of their people that would potentially be a wedding guest and making them work on wedding day. I think that's the worst thing ever. Yeah, that's my hot take. Don't hire your friends. Hire people that could be your friends. But yeah, usually for
make new friends.
Yeah, make new friends. Like everybody needs a new bearded guy in their life. So
yeah, like Adam.
Yeah, exactly. So proposals, sometimes, you know, because of our transient nature here in DC, some of the couples, you know, they're proposing here, but they might be getting married in California. And for me, I'll shoot anywhere. But again, you know, it always it comes down to, you know, budget. Can they afford it? All that kind of stuff. And it depends. The couples that love us the most and we feel the most comfortable with us and understand, you know, we have the same vision, those couples will really, you know, help us out and send us anywhere. And then for other couples, you know, at that level, at that stage, they're not too sure of what they're looking for. So maybe that'll be another podcast True. Episode from you guys, you know, of like how to, you know, when they're finding their photographer and their vendor, like, can they be, you know, quote unquote sold out for that wedding vendor and be like, yeah, we want this person to be with us for this, you know, epic wedding day or whatever. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, so for me, it's hit or miss, you know, half and half go hire me for their weddings and then half and half, you know, the other side probably don't.
Well, like we said at the beginning, I mean, a big part of being a photographer is getting your client comfortable in front of the camera. And part of that's building rapport. And so if you've already built a wonderful rapport and you feel that vibe because you hired them to shoot your proposal, then I could totally see that working in your favor for hiring them onto the wedding day and further photos. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yep.
Well, this was awesome to talk about. Do you have any, I don't know, really fun or crazy
parting
like
wisdom.
Wedding stories from your like 200, I was going to say 200 years of experience, but then yeah. you would Whoa. Be very old, from your 200 weddings you've shot.
200 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the wedding guy.
The world's oldest photographer. We have him on today.
Yeah, people always ask for like crazy stories at weddings, even, you know, mostly non-wedding vendors. So I feel like wedding vendors usually get this, but you know, honestly, there's like horror stories and then there's stories that like, you know, make me laugh and make me remember the goodness of that time. And so like one horror story that wasn't horrible for me. It was just a tough challenge for the couple and, you know, the wedding day. A bride was 3.5 hours late. So that was pretty tough, you know, and somebody had mentioned, like, I think she was like, she'll be late to her funeral or something like that, which I have no idea what that means. But, you know, and then I've had weddings where people, you know, it's I don't know if it's my work or my style or just people in general, but my weddings are getting more and more crazy at the receptions, and I love it. I'm here for it, especially as a music lover. Very big fan of people just having a good time, doing whatever that means for them. Alcohol is a good teammate of mine who helps assist with that. And you know, so that's been really fun because I just want people to be whoever they are, right? Like, and but what that means in the wedding world is like people just start taking their clothes off at receptions, and I have no idea what's happening, but if that makes them happy and they're having a good time and everybody's okay with it, then great. And
I've only had that happen one time.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
wasn't up in the DC area, funny enough. So maybe they were friends of yours.
Yeah. Oh, I don't do this. I, you know, I'm not my wife is not a dancer. I'm very much like my camera's my security blanket. Like I, you know, I'll do like the Kevin Hines, you know, or, you know, his kind of dance move from Hitch.
Oh but, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like that movie's about me, but I, you know, other than that, yeah, just people having a good time. You know, I think too, a lot of my couples, like, which I didn't grow up this way, I've never been to a club, but a lot of my clients have, and maybe their friends have been to that. And then they hire a DJ who's more of a club DJ than, you know, a wedding vendor. And they want to have fun. You know, they want to turn the lights off. It's a really challenging shooting situation, which is always fun, but it's cool, you know, and most of the time they're like, hey, come to the after party. And I'm like, okay, cool. And they're like, but don't bring your camera. So it's, you know,
I agree. Actually, I'm going to agree with you there because we also always get asked, you know, for the crazy, like, Bridezilla, like, horror moments and stuff. And I can never think of those. I can think of challenging weddings, but it's not because of the couple. It's because of, like, when we shot in a hurricane and when we tried to drive away, there was water up to our waistlines and we were flooded in the parking lot. Or, like, a lighting situation. Like, it's crazy because, like, of our job, like, the photographer side, it's not, like, crazy because of anything that, like, a guest maybe might have noticed.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's, yeah, at least for me, in my experience, I have never to this day had a bridezilla. Like, I think that was like a TV thing. Like, either I have set up good, you know, filters and red flag avoidance systems in my business, or maybe I just don't attract, you know, that. My wife did say that when we were planning our wedding that I was a beardzilla, so...
Well, hopefully you don't attract more of those too. Well, yeah. We have absolutely loved having you on. You're amazing. You're awesome. Your style is awesome. Your photography style is awesome too. And I just wanted to wrap up with like a fun, upbeat little thing that we like to call rapid fire questions. Are you ready, Adam?
Yeah. Boo, boo, boo. Rapid fire questions.
I normally make that sound, but Wes said I was making that sound too much. So I love that you did it for me. We are, oh man, same brain.
Lasers, okay. Wes.
Yes.
Lasers.
All right. Rapid fire question number one. If you could travel anywhere in the world right now, where would you go?
Iceland.
Oh, you'd go back. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It'd be my eighth time. I'm ready.
Wow. I could totally go back too. So I feel that. Rapid fire question number two. What's your current favorite wedding trend you've seen?
I mean, people taking their clothes off. No, I'm kidding. no, my favorite wedding trend that I think is, you've got me stumped.
Like one we always say is like the late night food delivery we've been seeing lately, like people getting Chick-fil-A at 10 p.m. Like that's an example. Or those like neon lights are becoming more of a thing. Those are good like trends.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love that. That spurs me on. I think food is always a good thing. So yeah, the food truck showing up at 11 p.m. when we're about to leave is always a good reminder. I'm like, okay, yeah, we got to stop and get a slice of pizza or whatever. I feel like I'm so unprepared for this answer, guys. I couldn't even tell you if any of the weddings I photographed were trendy. Like, they're cool to me.
I think trend throws people off, but like, you know, like how more people are doing like multi-color like dresses now. It's not as like uniform. That's like a trend, you know?
Yeah, I
guess
don't know.
For me, you can kind of go anywhere with this.
Yeah,
one.
My couples have been weird for a long time, you know. So like the like probably my third or fourth wedding, my bride wore a pink dress. So since then, I've always been like, oh, that's the norm. And like I am though proverbially chasing down non-tradition and just
You know how Portland has that motto that's like stay weird. I feel like
yeah,
that should also be yours, like Portland and Adam Mason.
I love it. What's funny, this is a little side note, Austin stole Portland's motto. So Austin, Texas also says keep it weird. So just,
I thought so. I almost gave both of them credit, but I was like, no, that's a Portland thing. I'm going to shout out Portland.
So pink dress is, that's the trend we're going with, I think, for that question.
And being naked. All right. Rapid fire question number three. What if you could only give one tip to a current engaged couple, what is one thing you would say?
Unlike all your other wedding vendors, photography is for life, not just for the day.
Whoa. that is awesome. I feel like you had that one prepared.
Yeah, I was like, what's the one thing I could say? And, you know, everything is wrapped up in that, right? So, like, you know, some of my favorite client interactions and couples experiences that we've had have been those couples that we talk about the rapport. But for us, you know, a lot of these couples, when I'm talking to them, I'm asking them some insanely deep questions once they become my couple or one of our couples, and really getting to know them, you know. And I think with that, it has helped me grow, and I get to see their growth as well. And, you know, they start thinking about things that they never thought about before. And that helps them realize that, you know, kind of like some of our couples who are taking off their clothes, that it's not about that, but the photography is the facilitation of an experience and vulnerability for them. And vulnerability allows us to get closer, and it allows them to get closer. And I think that's been really, really cool, you know, wedding wise. And that's why, you know, I think photographers, we're going to be the experts at that, at least for our couples. That's what they're looking for. And that just makes the experience so much better, you know. And my biggest goal is, like, after the wedding day, like, you're not going to remember your caterer's name, you know, but you're going to remember your photographer's name. And that's why we're there for 10, 12 hours, you know, and that's why it's so important and so valuable. Like, the value of your photography increases over time since your wedding day, but everything else from the wedding day decreases in value after the day is over.
That's true. I like it. Well said.
Sorry, all the couples listening are like, did this dude just get preachy on us? And we're like, yeah, we're kind of, you know, I like
you've been doing it a while. You got a lot to share.
Big statements. I'm so sorry.
We'll let it slide. I mean, you know, you're promoting photography, which we're into, you know, so that's fine with us. All right. So if people are interested in booking you for a shoot or a proposal or a wedding or a Beardzilla, how do they find you?
All Beardzillas are welcome here. Yeah. So the best way I would say for people to get a hold of us is just come say hi on Instagram at Mason Photography, MASON Photography. So that's going to be the best place to kind of see kind of our work, get a little bit of our personality. You'll see me in the stories usually. Large white bearded dude with a black fitted hat is usually my uniform. And yeah, that's the best place to kind of get to know us and see our work. And then if you see that and you like that, you want to swipe right on that and take it to the next level, then yeah, you can send us an email and hire us for anything that sounds awesome to you.
And for anyone out there listening, I know this is mostly engaged couples, but we have some engaged couples out there that I think are also photographers. What's your podcast that you have for them?
Yeah. So my podcast is all about demystifying what it takes to build and run a sustainable creative business. It's called The Bearded Tog. You can check out episodes with past guests at thebeardedtog.com. And we also have a free Facebook community as well, where we do live workshops for free on things from pricing, SEO, lead generation, all kinds of fun things. So yeah, that's our podcast, The Bearded Tog.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again, Adam Mason of Mason Photography, for coming on. And we'll definitely have to have you back on. Thanks again.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks, always happy to talk.
Bye.
Wow. Well, thanks again, Adam, for coming on and sharing so much information about photographing proposals.
Yeah, it made me really wish I could have been the person that planned our proposal. Well, like we said in the beginning, I'm a planner. I also just absolutely love surprises. I have thrown many a surprise party in my day. In fact, I threw Wes a really good surprise party. Totally got him.
I've benefited from that. I mean, honestly, Brie,
I just think it'd be so fun to plan something like awesome and cool. I don't know. I would have had to like incorporate like skateboarding or ice hockey or something for you. I don't know. It would have been fun to think of. I would have totally reached out to Ovechkin for you.
No. It's not about like my hobbies. It's about our relationship. I don't know. I mean, I guess if we want to get married again, you can take it over, because okay. I found the whole thing terrifying.
Well, anyways, we realized that we kind of like alluded to our proposal story throughout. And so we won't go into like, I guess, major detail, but we thought for anyone that was interested, it'd be kind of fun to share our proposal story, because we hinted at it so much throughout that episode. I know we said in one part about how I think we hinted at the fact that I basically figured it out, right?
Yeah, because it was like pouring down rain and we had plans to go hiking. I was going to do it at the top of this mountain close to Harrisonburg, where we went to college and we met. And, you know, we get up and the weather is not hiking weather. I mean, it's like drizzling. It wasn't pouring, but it was like,
it was nasty out.
Why are we still going to drive?
Yeah. So, of course, I was like, why would we go hiking? Let's just stay home. And he was like adamant, like, we're going hiking. We're doing this. I wanted to hike today no matter what. Let's do this. So already I was like, it's a little fishy. He's like really pushing me to like hike in like the rain, which is weird for him, because Wes is not a pushy. He's a go with the flow guy. So I thought that was weird. Then how did I catch you? Oh, you were like, we're going to stay overnight. So like pack some clothes. And I go to pack some clothes and I was like, oh, my favorite dress is missing. Like, where is my dress? I could have sworn like I just hung it up in the closet. And
I had already like taken the dress and put it in the car. I don't remember exactly.
For a surprise that's coming later that we'll tell you about.
Yeah. And so now she's like looking for this dress for some reason. I'm like, oh my God. So so then I have to go out to the car, sneak it back in the closet and be like, look, it was behind my coat. And at this point, she's like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, so I'd kind of basically caught on at this point. Like, anyways, he was being too pushy with like the hiking weather. And like, of course, you have conversations leading up to this, like that you're ready to both be engaged and all that good stuff. So let's just say I went in the bathroom and did pretty much full makeup and painted my nails. Like, I knew it was coming. Okay. So
yeah. And I knew she knew. Cause yeah, she's like sitting there painting her nails before we're going to go hiking. Like you.
Yeah.
Need to
so
do
at
that.
This point he knew I knew. So we both knew we knew, but we still had a 2-hour drive and then like a 2+ hour hike. So we still had hours to go.
I didn't make you hike 2 hours before.
Okay. It was like, it was a short hike. It was a short hike. But yeah. The point is we had hours together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where there should have been chit chat, but we were both so nervous because you knew and thought about what was coming. And I was thinking about what was coming and what my reaction would be. And it was like, I do remember it kind of being a quiet-ish car ride and hike because we were both in this like nervous phase of thinking.
But I didn't totally fail. Well, first of all, she said yes, so I was successful. But I mean, by I didn't totally fail, it's a surprise, because I did have
a surprise coming later. So anyways, we get to the hike and we get to the top, and we did allude to this in the story, but the overlook that was supposed to be the wonderful, beautiful backdrop was completely gone. But it was really nice because I only told Wes he had to do 3 things, but one of those 3 was I wanted the actual proposal moment to be just the 2 of us. I wanted to just be our memory, you know, and no one else there. So it was just us and it was wonderful. I think we like cried at the top and sat there for a little bit reflecting and chatting, and then we hike back down. And we get in the car to go to a restaurant. And Wes says he's taking me to, I think it was like it's a Thai restaurant where we had, I think, our 2nd or 3rd date ever.
Yeah, that's right. So here's where the dress comes in. I told Brianna that we had a dinner to go to, so that's why I had the dress that, you know, at this point we had talked about how I had put it in the car. That's why it wasn't in the closet and it wasn't magically behind my coat the whole time. But here's where my surprise comes in, because what I didn't tell Brianna is that I had coordinated that all of our family would be at the restaurant waiting for us when we walked in. But Brianna didn't know that. So then the first thing she wants to do while we're in the car is start calling her family, right? And telling them the news.
And then anyways, it became this hilarious thing that we all still joke about, because I called my dad and tell him the news. And, you know, dad says, oh, well, I'll tell your siblings when they get here for dinner any minute. You know, dinner, I'm just cooking, but dinner should be ready any minute, I guess was his cover. And then I call my siblings and tell them the wonderful, happy news and say, what are you guys doing, Emma and Keenan? And they say, oh, we're actually like an hour or two from home. Like, we're still driving home, but we got stuck in like a lot of traffic. And I was like, oh my God, dad just made dinner for you guys. Like, he doesn't even know you're hours from home. And I started freaking out and I like hang up on my siblings and I call my dad and I'm like, oh my God, dad, Emma and Keenan are nowhere near home. And
yes, she's being way too much of a big sister.
Yes, it became this whole thing. And I think Wes is trying not to laugh at me in the car. And I think they're all trying not to laugh.
I thought the jig was up. Like, she's like, wait a second, their stories aren't adding up. So I'm a little bit like, you know, like biting the steering wheel here. But Brianna's like has no idea.
I still wasn't connecting it, even though the stories were like obviously fishy, right? But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, so we walk in the restaurant and then we go to the back and, you know, the door's open, blah, blah, blah. There is everybody. And that part was important to Brianna because she wanted the moment to just be just us. But I found a way to still like incorporate the family, which was important to her too.
So then it felt like we got the big celebration day of and we got to share the news in person. But we also got our own private moment that'll only be our own memory forever. And yeah, it was a wonderful, and it was a good immediate blending of our families, because it was not just our parents, but both our siblings. It was Wes's grandparents, it was his aunt and uncle. It was wonderful to have people to cheers with and celebrate and tell the story to immediately.
Yeah, it's cool that that's part of our proposal. You know, some people do something similar with what do they call those?
Like engagement parties?
An engagement party. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm a big wedding guy, guys. engagement party would be a similar thing, but we were able to just do it that day. So, you know, big shout out to the family who drove and made that possible. And let me still get some sort of surprise in on the proposal day.
Yes. Yes. So let this be a lesson to all of you. You can always plan two surprises on the proposal day. And that way, if they're keen and catch on to the first one, you still have a bonus second surprise coming up later.
Yeah. Always come with a backup plan. But, well, okay. Well, that's a little bit about how I proposed to Brianna. And like I said, success story, still married. So I guess it worked out just fine. So hopefully you guys found out a little bit more about how to plan your proposals and how to get it photographed. So you have those great images to always remember the day.
And we have a great episode coming up for you guys next week. Can't wait for y'all to hear it. If you have any questions for Adam on proposals, or if you have ideas for potential topics the next coming weeks, you can always find us on our I Do McGrew Instagram account or idomcgrew.com. We have a contact page there. So thanks for checking us out. Thanks for listening.
See you next week, guys. Carry on.